Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Throughout the Old Testament and the annals of time, the Lord has seen fit to reveal himself in various ways through the mouths of his prophets. All of them spoke in a fashion which was shrouded in mystery, even though now in hindsight we can see that they spoke quite plainly of the great prophet who was yet to come. Those are the days which the Scriptures speak of as the former times or times past. A new era has been unfolded now which is not shrouded in mystery, nor is there any doubt as to who the spokesman of God is. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. John carries on this very theme when he says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. In the unfolding of his redemptive work, which spans his conception and birth in the womb of the Virgin Mary, to his ascension into the heavens, the Lord has made his eternal purpose known unto his creation. He would manifest the glory of his grace and the redemption of that people which he loved with an everlasting love. He sent an angel to testify to Joseph what his name was to be and the mission which he would accomplish. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Such an occurrence as his virgin birth defies the ability of men to believe and receive it. Yet the Holy Ghost does create faith in the sons of God and operates in them in such fashion that they not only believe it, but they cannot in any wise deny it. Rather, they become consumed with a desire to know him who has revealed himself as the Savior of sinners, bread for the hungry, water for those who thirst after righteousness, and peace for those who long for it, having been rebels against him by nature. He is the reconciler, and they have gladly thrown down their arms of rebellion and desire his rule over them. The Lord has come into the world to establish his everlasting kingdom, and his subjects delight in his kingship. Isaiah prophesied of his triumphant installation as the King of Truth, when he said, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion." When armies went into battle, they had a flag, that is, a standard or an ensign, held up before them. Christ is the ensign of his people. He is the standard by which they will gladly follow, being the righteousness of God. It is here behind that glorious Redeemer that they find courage in the midst of their fear and strength in the midst of their weakness. Isaiah says that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. This is a description of the establishment of his kingdom in the present age. This is the last day. This is that time which the prophets desired to see but could not. This is the day of salvation. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy which the Lord gave to Jeremiah. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Paul testified, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." This is the resting place of the sons of God. It is here that they can turn aside from the cares and temptations of this world. There is no condemnation here. They look to that bloody hill of Calvary and believe that he shed his blood for the remission of their sins. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." Do you have a desire to know him?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.